John 13. And I know that you are a congregation of God's people that does not mind a lot of preaching. And I appreciate that about you. But at the same time, this evening, I'm not going to take advantage of your willingness to hear a lot of preaching. We've had a long week and a lot of services, a lot of different information, a lot of different topics that the Lord spoke to our hearts about. And so I will not take a long time this evening, but I wanted to share with you some thoughts from God's Word from John 13. And we'll start with verse number 1, and I want to read this passage of Scripture to you and make an application to all of us. So John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. Let's pray, and then I want to preach to you a brief message that I've entitled, Washing. Washing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you again for what you've given to us. Thank you for our salvation. Lord, we look forward to the day when we can be in heaven with you, and in a physical form, we can thank you and praise you in a greater way than we feel like we can do now. And Lord, I am sure that as we enter into heaven, that we will be overwhelmed with the fact that it is all because of you that we're there. Lord Jesus, in the meantime, while we're here, would you fill our hearts with the same knowledge by faith in your word, that we would be overwhelmed with gratitude for who you are and what you've done. But now, Lord, as we look at your word and we see that there is a need for us to be cleansed on a daily basis, would you apply the message to our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So we've seen here in this passage of Scripture that this very same night in which the Lord gave to his disciples this thing that we call communion, this Last Supper, this Lord's table, when we remember the body and blood of the Lord and the death that he gave for us, that very same night he, when supper was ended, girded himself with a towel, which was a servant's attire, and he went around to his disciples and washed their feet. And we know from John 13 that he was giving them an example, that they would follow his steps, that we would follow his steps as well, that we would remember that as he left us here with a mission, one of the parts of our mission is that we would serve God's people. And may I remind you that that is the mission for all of us, to serve one another. That's one of the reasons why we have a local church, that we can minister to others and minister with others. But as he gave them that reminder through the washing of their feet, he comes to Peter and Peter says, Lord, are you really going to wash my feet? The understanding being that Jesus as master should not be washing the feet of one of his disciples. That would not fit with the culture of the day. And Jesus, of course, said that he did not understand what was going on, and he would understand it later. And of course, then Peter said, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. He put on a show, didn't he, of wanting the Lord to be exalted, but he really didn't. We know that from later stories of what went on. Well, then the Lord Jesus said to him, if I don't wash you, then you have no part with me. And Peter goes from one extreme to the other and says, well, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Go ahead and just get me all. Right? He goes from one extreme to the other. And of course, the Lord Jesus gives him those very famous words that we often hear about where he says, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. That's the idea of if you're already clean all the way across your body, then the only thing that is necessary then is foot washing. Now, what did Jesus mean by that? That comes from the idea of, think about the culture of the day. Their homes did not have indoor plumbing. They didn't have a bath necessarily in their home. They did not necessarily have the opportunity to shower every day. Aren't you glad we do now? And if you have teenagers, sometimes they shower more than once a day. Not that I would know that from experience. But they didn't have that opportunity. And so many times they would go to a public bath. And they would get all washed in this public bath and get all clean. They would put all their clothes back on. They'd put their sandals on. And they would walk back home. And if you can picture the type of geography that they lived in there in the land of Israel in that area, as they walked home with their feet that had sandals on them on dusty roads, having just washed their complete body, when they got home, what did their feet look like? Dirty once again. Jesus is using that in a roundabout way as an illustration for his disciples that he that is washed, he's just taken a bath, he's washed completely, the only thing that he needs, the insinuation is when he gets home, after a little bit of time, he doesn't need to take another bath, walk back to the public bath and try over again. Rather, all he needs to do is get those feet washed. They've been contaminated walking through the dirt and the dust of the road. It's a great illustration of what Jesus was saying here to Peter and the other disciples, and really, by the word of God, then to you and me. Let's look at a couple of things that we can notice from this passage of Scripture. Number one, that washing is essential to a relationship. That's what Jesus said in verse number 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And I want you to understand that God is giving us the understanding that if we are not willing to be washed and made clean, if we're not willing for the Lord Jesus to come and point out the dirt in our lives and get that clean, then what that proves is we have no part with him. That is salvation. The Lord Jesus coming into our life and saying, I am going to clean you up. And if we're not willing to be cleaned by the Lord Jesus, then we have no part with him. I remind you of what the Bible says in John 14:6. Where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I know that the crowd that's sitting in front of me this evening understands that, but I just want to remind you again that Jesus is still the only way to have access to the Father. There is no other way. It's not about you being good. It's not about you being better than your neighbor. It is only through Jesus that any man has access to the Father. Let's turn over quickly to the book of Hebrews. We're going to want to keep our place in John 13, and we want to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, we find a great, very important truth. Verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins? But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore when he, that's Jesus by the way, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You see that the offering of the Lord Jesus was what was needed for us to have a relationship with God. And may I remind you of what the word clearly says? Though we remember it through the body and the blood represented through the bread and the juice, though we remember it this year on a monthly basis, we are not re-sacrificing the body and blood of Christ like they do in a Catholic Mass. Rather, we are remembering it. Why? Because it was done once for all. And when Jesus was done, he sat down, proving that he was done with the offering of a sacrifice. He took away the Old Testament sacrifice and established his sacrifice, and now that is the only sacrifice needed. It is a one-time and done sacrifice. That's what we have. That is salvation. If we turn back to John chapter number 12, or I'm sorry, 13, again, we can see that washing is essential to a relationship, and that is a one-time thing. But I want to show you also the second truth that we need to realize from our text is that though being washed is once, there is a constant need for cleansing. And that's from verse 10. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed, and by the way, that word washed means basically completely bathed, needeth not save to wash his feet. That obviously is a smaller washing, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. So though being washed is once, there is a constant need for cleansing. And friends, I want to encourage you as we end with the revival meetings that we had this last week, as we remember the body and blood of the Lord that was given for us, I want to remind you that I trust everyone here is born again and saved. You've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Christ has been applied to you. You've been redeemed by the blood. We could say it in the language that Jesus uses here in John 13. You've been washed. I trust that about you. If not, then take care of that. If you have questions, talk to me about that. But friends, I trust you've been washed. But I want to remind you that now there is a need for daily cleansing. There is a need for daily cleansing. Jesus said here, if you have been washed, the idea there being bathed, then there is still a need for washing your feet so that you can be clean every whit. Why the feet? Because the feet walked through the dust and the dirt of the town. They were contaminated. The rest of the body was clean, but the feet walked where the dirt was and the grime was and the animal refuse and all those different things that would have been around in the communities of that day. That's where the feet were, and they needed to be washed. And friends, that's you and me. Though our spirit is washed, though we are cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, yet in an outward way, in our walk in this world, we get contaminated every day. And there is a need to be clean. And I want to encourage you, this next week, we won't have revival meetings. You won't come here on Monday night and hear an evangelist preach, or Tuesday, or Thursday, or Friday. Friends, yet we need to be constantly in the Word of God and seeking God and allowing God to cleanse us again, to show us where we need to get right with the Lord. Now, you might ask me, well, Pastor, how often do I need to be washed? How often do my feet need to be cleaned? Well, let me just answer your question with a question. How often do you need to wash your feet physically? How often do you need to wash your hands physically? There's no solid answer, is there? The right answer would be whenever they get dirty. For little kids, little toddlers, how often do they get bathed, Mom? Every couple of days, probably, as most parents, you bathe your toddler. I don't think there's too many that bathe their toddler every single day, unless you've got a boy who's always in the mud or something like that. But you know what happens after a while when the toddler grows up and they get into the preteen years? They need a shower like every hour. The body changes, doesn't it? And the body begins to stink a little bit more than it used to. Isn't that true with preteens and then teenagers? And then, by the way, as you get a little bit older and you get out of that teenage years and early 20s and all of that, it's not as if your body suddenly gets cleaner, but it's not like it was when you were a teenager. It's not the same way things change. Some of it's your activity. Some of it's the hormonal levels that God put in your body. All that's different and causes a little bit of difference. You don't have to wash the different parts of your body nearly as often anymore. It all depends. But there's a constant need to be evaluating with your physical body, isn't there? If your spouse is coming up to you and saying, that might be a hint that you might need to wash a little bit more, right? All joking aside, isn't that what we need to do spiritually? Don't we need to evaluate? Listen, I need to get with the Lord, and just like we did tonight with communion, I need to take time to say, Lord, is there anything in my life, anything at all? And I would encourage you, it ought to be at least daily. In the morning or in the evening, whenever you spend time with the Lord, it ought to be a prayer of, Lord, show me, and Lord, let me see where the dirt is in my spiritual life, and Lord, would you cleanse me of that dirt? With that in mind, let's close with 1 John chapter number 1. And I just want to encourage you with us as we look in 1 John chapter number 1, that this is something that I want to encourage you to do this week, as again, we will not have revival meetings this week. You will not be reminded and confronted with the Word of God by a preacher from this pulpit every day, like we had been this last week. But I would encourage you to allow the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to do the same thing in your life. And though you will not have an invitation at this altar with a pianist playing, you can have an invitation and an altar in your own home or wherever you are. 1 John chapter number 1. Look at verse number, let's start with verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In other words, we're going to have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I want to present my theory to you. My theory that I want to present to you is that in verse 9, when it says, if we confess our sins, that is the same idea as in verse 7, but if we walk in the light. Walking in the light partway is doing what is right because God is light. But I believe it's more than that. Walking in the light is walking with God in such a way, if he is light, that whenever I'm walking with him, the light of his truth is going to shine in my life. Would you agree with me that if I'm going to walk with God, sin cannot hide? You can't hide sin and walk with God. He is light. Light will point out the sin. It will be obvious. So as we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In verse 9, he's wording it a little bit different, but it's the same thing. If we confess our sins. So friends, here's the deal. That as we walk with God, he's going to point out our sins. And confession of sin is not making penance for sins. It's not coming to the altar necessarily and making a decision at the altar, although I'm not against that, I'm very much for it. But it is walking with God in truth and saying, God, wherever you point out sin to me, I'm going to confess it, which means I'm going to agree with you about that sin. God, you are right. This area of my life, that's sin and that's wrong. And the Bible says that if we confess that sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The wording in verse 7 is, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so I want to encourage you, walk in the light. Confess your sin. Walk with God in such a way that he can point out things to you, and as soon as he does, just confess it. Admit to him, God, that's sin. It's wrong. It's wicked. You're right. I've been wrong. If you'll do that, that's the same idea as John 13, where Jesus came to the disciples and said, I need to wash your feet. And if I'll wash your feet, you'll be clean every whit. So this week, let's wash our spiritual feet all week long. I hope that's a challenge and a blessing to you. Let's pray, and then I'm going to let you go.